Okay, Book of Ezra, chapter 3, starting from verse 1.
And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem.
Now here it says seventh month. If you remember when we were studying the book of Haggai, we read the seventh month and ninth month, but this is not the Book of Ezra and Book of Haggai, two different timing. But here we're seeing seventh month when they came to the Jerusalem. If you remember, Cyrus told these people, go to your country, build the temple. God has inspired me, and I'm giving you charge. Go and build the temple. Give the free will offering. If you're not going and if you're staying in this country, do something for the Lord. And he encouraged people to go and build the temple. Now here the word of God is saying they were all gathered together as a one man. That's a big thing. Because if you are not having unity, you cannot doing anything. If one man doesn't have a unity, he can destroy the whole thing. There is a saying, one rotten onion or one rotten potato can rotten all other ones. And so here we see is the unity. The word of God says in Amos chapter 3 verse 3, how can you walk together if you do not agree? So agreement is very important to do the Lord's work. Matthew chapter 18 verse 19 says, two people on earth agree and pray, God will hear our prayer from heaven. And our God wants unity. Devil doesn't want unity, but God's people need unity. Now today we see even the people, they are not godly people, they united, try to destroy the country, try to destroy the spiritual matters, and they might be in America or in the world, maybe 2%. But they do such a kind of gathering and show to people that we are majority. And people get scared, and then they do whatever they want. You saw in the Babel, when they were building the Babel, they were united. But they were united to do wrong thing. And they were building the tower, and God says, you know what? These people are united. These people have one language. And these people made up their mind to do something, they will do. They were not able to go to heaven with that, but they will say, we will reach heaven. It was a foolish thing. Now we know we take the rocket and we go to the moon and we're planning to go to the other stars, still you cannot reach God. God is far, far, far away. So that means you cannot reach God, you cannot understand God with the human mind. Do you know that, what is his name? Buddha. He was looking for God without knowing where the God is. And he wander everywhere and could not find God, and finally he says, there is no God. But today the people are worshiping the man who said there is no God. And so these people were united in the Tower of Babel. If you want to read that thing, you can read in Genesis chapter 11 verses 1 to 9. But we are not going to go there. If anyone wants to read Genesis chapter 11 verse 1 to 9, you can read. Let's go, he said, let's go and change their language. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit came and changed their language, and they could not build the tower. If they say bring the brick, they might be bringing water. Bring the mortar, they might be bringing something else, and they could not build. So God knows what he's doing. But the word of God is saying here, God wants spiritual unity. Not the demonic unity. You remember one man had 2,000 devils? I was thinking how these 2,000 these demons can get into one man that has to have unity to stay there. But Christian people do not have unity. So the point I'm making, there are evil unity and there are good unity, but God wants unity in the spirit. If you don't have unity in the spirit, you can have 10,000 people gathered together, but there is no spirit of God working, it will not do any good. But here he says, even the two people agree, God can do a miracle. We see another unity. If you read in a book of Acts chapter 2, please read. Book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Now see, here, one accord, one place, and one mind, he has an unity praying. Do you know what Jesus Christ said to them? He said, don't leave the city until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now when he said, don't leave the city, Jesus did not tell them what day the Holy Spirit is coming. They were there 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. The Holy Spirit didn't come. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. If those people would have said and start fighting, you know what? We are here every day and nothing is happening. Let's get out of here. We don't want to sit here. But they obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ and they waited with a one mind and one accord and praising God and glorifying God and asking God, to Lord, fulfill what you said and promised. And God fulfilled his promise and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So what you need, if you need a Holy Spirit, it will not come with the fighting and war. There are some people, they say, oh, we got the Holy Spirit. When did you receive it? When I was born again. And some people will say, we don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't need to speak in tongues. We don't need all of this. They say, this is from the devil. God gave one example in the book of Luke chapter 11. He says, if the Son asks you bread, will you give him a stone? If the Son asks you egg, will you give him a scorpion? If the Son asks you fish, will the Father will give him the snake? He said, if the worldly father knows how to do good things or how to do better things to his son, how much our heavenly Father give those people who ask the Holy Spirit? So if somebody says, somebody got the Holy Spirit and he's speaking in tongue and he's from the devil, then you say, God wanted you to be filled with the power of God. The filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be united and do the Lord's thing. Today we see in Africa, in different countries, when you go, the people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they're the one doing more work. And the people who are gathered together like a 10,000, 20,000, you don't see one miracle. But the people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, there are two people gathered together in unity, people get saved, healed, delivered, and set free. So here we see the word of God says, they were united in one and they received the Holy Spirit. And these people were united in one man. Can you imagine hundreds and thousands of Israeli people like a one man? That is a great unity. But now they are saying, let's do united, and they want to do build the temple. That's the reason they came. Let's read the verse 2. Ezra chapter 3, verse 2.
Then stood up Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening.
Now see here, they were united. There were so many people. They decided to build the altar, and they already put the, wherever the base was, they put the altar, and they said, we are going to build the altar. But some people said, you know what? Some people might do harm to us. And they were a little bit afraid. So I think when they wanted to build the temple, and they thought the temple building, the people will come and do some harm to us. So let's try building the altar. Actually, they came there to build the temple. And they came to build the temple, but the united, they thought, hey, let's do not build the temple. Because people might be harming us. People might destroy the temple. They did it before. Let's do the altar. And the united way, they start doing the altar. But the word of God says we should not be afraid of anybody. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 7, if you read, he says your enemy will come one way and they will run seven ways. Because the enemy come united, but the God's power is so great, God will put the fear in their heart. You know how to be afraid of enemy? Please read.
The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways.
See what he's saying? Enemy will come one way. They come united. They want to destroy the work of God. They want to destroy you. But the word of God says, don't be afraid. Because I will put the fear in their heart. And they will run for their life. We don't have to be worried about enemy. Because you are a child of God. God has given you the power to destroy the works of the devil. The word of God says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. What it says? He said, Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And St. John chapter 14, verse 12, he says, whatever the works I did, you do. And you do greater works. So if he destroyed the works of the devil, you have power to destroy the works of the devil. So you don't run from devil, you put devil to flight. What the word of God says, resist the devil and what? He will flee. You don't have to run, let the enemy run. So the God was telling these people, you don't have to be afraid. Book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6, he said, we should say boldly, God is my helper. What man can do unto me? Please read.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Who is your helper? God is my helper. When sometime the fear comes, the enemy comes to attack you, or your mind says that whatever I'm doing for the Lord is not going to work, you have to say, God is my helper. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit as a helper. So the God is with you, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God is helping you. Why you should afraid? So you have to be very bold. I said other day that some people went to Africa to do the Lord's work and they were voodoo and all kinds of demonic things people start doing and those people could not stand, they ran. Then another group of people, when they said, well, you know what? God's Spirit is with us. God has given the Holy Spirit to cast out the demons and do signs and wonders and miracles and we'll go. Today you see in Africa, there are more churches filled with the Holy Spirit than any other countries. So the point I'm making, we need the power of God. When God is with you, who can be against you? So he said, I will say boldly that God is my helper. If God is with me, I don't have to worry about anything. Read the Psalm 27 verse 1.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Can you imagine? He gives you light. You don't worry about the darkness. The kingdom of darkness is the devil's kingdom. Our kingdom is the kingdom of light. He has taken us from the out of darkness and put it in the kingdom of light, his son, Jesus Christ. And then he says, God is my salvation. Salvation means God's protection, God's saving power is with you. Nobody can destroy you if you belong to God. And then he says, God is my strength. You don't depend on your strength and your power. You say, I have more wisdom, I have more knowledge, I have more degree, I have more education, and I am so much power, I'm bodybuilder. You saw some of the churches, one man was a bodybuilder, and he could, instead of wearing suit and tie. He would wear like a bodybuilder's clothes and half shirt or something, and it's always like a bodybuilder and things like that. I said, this man is showing too much power. And one day he fell. The point I'm making, you cannot show your power, the bodybuilder power. You need the power of God, the strength of God, the light of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. We have to be humble ourselves. The word of God says, if you humble yourself, he will raise you up. But if you're proud, you will go down. So we have to trust in God and say, I'm going in the name of the Lord. Do you know what David did? He was not afraid of Goliath because he was blaspheming. He said he was blaspheming to the children of God and God. I am going to destroy him because when he's against God, God is going to give me strength and I'm with God. And he destroyed him with one stone. Even though he had the 5 stones, he didn't have to use it. And one stone did the job. The point I'm making, if you go in the name of the Lord, God will do signs and wonders and miracles, and you will be never be the same. Then these people said, you are going to build the temple, but he says, let's build the altar first. Do you know when you do the altar, the rain will come, the snow will come, the wind will come. You need some covering. Maybe it's not written here. They maybe made some kind of covering, like a tabernacle or tent or something. It's not written in here. You cannot do the sacrifice in the open ground because the rain will come, the snow will come, the wind will come, and the fire will go off. So they have to do something, but it's not written here. So they said, we are afraid the people will do something. The 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. If God has not given us the spirit of fear, then who gives? The enemy gives. Enemy brings of fear. So he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us what? Power, love, and sound mind. If your mind is not sound, then your mind is the devil's workshop. There is a saying, idle mind is what? Devil's workshop. If you don't go to church, if you don't read the Bible, if you don't pray, and if you watch a soap opera, you go to the movies and you spend your precious time is gossiping and things like that. What will happen? Do you think God will use you mightily? No. Your mind will be the devil's playground. The devil wants you to not do anything for the Lord. He wants to destroy you. So first he comes to your mind and then he can destroy you. So we should not allow the devil to destroy us. The fear is from the devil. The word of God said, God's love casteth out the fear. If you love the Lord, if you be close to God, if you're living for God, devil has no power. Psalm 91, it says, if you come closer to him and stay under his wings, then nothing will happen to you because God's protection is greater. God will not allow any enemy to destroy you. But you have to abide in him, you have to live in him, and you have to walk in him. These people are united, they are one in spirit, they can do mighty things. The king supplied the money, they had no problem building the temple. King said, I'm going to supply all the materials, whatever you want the wood, you want the stones, you want workers, you want carpenters, you want masonry workers, whatever the money you want, I'm giving you. He gave the grant. You don't have to pay back to the government or Caesar or Cyrus. That's the kind of opportunity you have. What do you do then? You do exactly what God told you to do. That's why they did not build the temple and they built the altar. Okay, let's go back to the book of Ezra. Chapter 3, and starting from verse 4. Okay.
They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom as the duty of every day required. and afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons, and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord.
Now here we see they are doing very well. They are doing offerings, and they said we are doing according to the Mosaic law. They are not disobeying law. Exact the offering. There are all kinds of five kinds of offering: the burnt offering, the meat offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering. They're doing everything. They are even doing the Feast of the Tabernacle and all the moons and every kinds of feasts. They are doing it. So they might be thinking we are doing okay. Some people, you know, they go to every Sunday to church. They give their offerings on time. They attend every service, morning, evening, and all the services. They do everything. But they just come and warm the seat and go home. They are not doing anything for the Lord from their heart. Two people came to worship the Lord, and one man says, I give my tithe, I help poor, I do this, I do that, and everything I do, I'm better than the other guy. And the other guy said, Lord, he's beating on his chest. Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins and wash me and cleanse me. Other man says, I'm not like him. The word of God says he went proudly, but God received the man who really repented. Nowadays, today, read somebody's books or go and watch their television. There are preachers coming now, and modern preachers, and they are saying, you don't have to repent because God knows your heart, your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins automatically are forgiven. I tell these people, then you have to take the repentance words from the Bible. People do not want to talk about sin. There are churches, you know, there was a big, big church with a crystal cathedral. Billions of dollars they spent, and the man was preaching there, what? 15 minutes preaching, no salvation, no sin, no miracles, no repentance, nothing. And I said to myself, one day this is going to fall. If I would have told you, nobody would believe me. But today what happened? The no preacher, nobody is doing it, and somebody took over. Why? They could not pay their bills, and so somebody took it over. The point I'm making, you don't need to have a billion-dollar building to praise God. If you have a building, even though if you have a 500,000 people or 2,000 people's building, you don't build with the diamonds and rubies and things like that. People say, oh, the Solomon's temple was this much, and the Zerubbabel temple was this much. So we want to do and make decoration. As long as you have lights, as long as you have air condition and comfortable seating, you don't need all of those things. One man, God gave him a plane. He is decorating his plane with a gold. I said, outside gold is not helping you. God has given you plane. Be thankful and do the Lord's work. Otherwise, one day the plane will crash and your gold and everything will be burned down. We have to use God-given wisdom. Do the right thing. When God has told you, go and build the temple, God inspired Cyrus to go and build the temple. They are building the altar, and they said, oh, we're doing a right thing. We are worshiping every day. We are doing sacrifice every day. Not only that, we are giving free will offering. Nobody is forcing us to give, but we are doing willingly. That means they are thinking we are doing something good, and God has to be pleased. Do you think God was pleased? Somebody will say, in this book it doesn't say. Go to the book of Haggai. Read these two chapters we already studied. God says, hey, what are you doing? You are building your houses. And you are making everything good. But I'm not going to give you prosperity. They will be whole in your pocket. You gather everything and put it there, I'll blow it out. You will not have anything. And so Haggai comes and talks to those people, convince those people to build the temple. So here we see they are just building the altar and thinking they are doing all good things. They are doing free will offering. There are some churches, they will give you the church envelopes, and then somebody say, this is offering for missionary, this is offering for pastor, this is offering for guest, this is offering for the, and they will give several envelopes. And people are tired, they say, hey, how many offerings we can give? And sometimes they will say, okay, now we have a project. We need $5,000 and we have to have this $5,000 within 3 months. So what they do, put a chart there, like a bar or something, and say, now this much we got, this much we got, and we want to get it within 3 months. And some people say, leave the church. We don't want to pay this. The point I'm making, don't force people to give. These people were giving willingly, free will offering. Let's see what the word of God is saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. When you giving the offering, don't do grudgingly. I went to several churches. And the offering time comes, they say, okay, some pastor will stand there. Big people will stand. So when they come and they look at what I'm giving, so even though they want to give dollar, they will put $100 bill to please somebody. And then some churches will say, line up and let's sing a song and we'll take an offering. And the pastor will say, open your wallet and give the biggest offering you ever gave. And the some people give $20 bill showing that my bill is bigger than anybody else. Then some person with $100 bill and they come dancing, showing that money, and they put it. What the word of God says, when you give with the right hand, left hand should not know. The point I'm making, the word of God says, when you give, don't give to show somebody that I'm giving more. I don't talk to people about money. I talk to God. God supplies my need. Please read.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
See, here the word of God is saying, you have to think in your heart, I'm giving to God, just like a sower sows the seed. If you have 1,000-acre land, and you say, 1,000-acre land, I need a lot of seed to sow. I'm not going to sow that much. I'm going to sow in a 1-acre land. But I'm a Christian. God has to do miracle, because Isaac sowed in the famine, and God gave him the harvest. So if God did it to Isaac, he should do it to me. So 10,000 acre, I'm not going to sow. I'm going to sow 1 acre. And I'm going to pray, Lord, now I sowed in a 1-acre land, but give me a harvest for 10,000. Do you think God is going to do it? No, he will not do it. If you have the seed, he said, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow for 1 acre, 1 acre will give the fruit. 9 acre you didn't sow, how are you going to get the fruit from there? So if you are the farmer, you have to sow how much you want to get the harvest. Once you sow, then you pray, Lord, I sowed. Now the water, the rain, the sunshine, everything is in your hand. I did my part, you do yours. And he will. I have seen some places they had famine. And I went and prayed for those people and they got a harvest. The point I'm making, God will supply your needs, but you have to sow it. Book of Malachi said, you are robbing me. People say, how can we rob God? He said, you rob me with the tithes and offerings. Some people have the a beautiful car, the Cadillac or expensive car, and say, oh, you bought this car? Yeah. But actually, they might have not given the tithe. That's the robbing and the cheating, and they bought it. So what happened? Next day got an accident. Somebody comes and thieves, robs your car, and it's gone. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, he said, when you give your tithes and offerings, I'll open the heavenly windows, I'll pour down the blessing, you will not have room to store it. And what I'll do? I will fight your devourer. So you don't have to worry losing anything. If you're sowing in the kingdom of God, then he will give the harvest. Here he said, if you give, don't give grudgingly. If somebody wants to give a dollar, and because if I give a dollar and the pastor won't be happy, and so other person is watching my wallet, so I'm going to give $100. And you give the $100 and then go, so why did I do it? Some people put it in the offering and come back and say, Pastor Peter, I put a $20. Can I get my $15 back? What I should say? Sir, I didn't see your $20 bill. So next time, don't put a $20 bill. The point I'm making, don't put $20 bill and take a $15 from the offering. And so whatever you have, if you give penny and that's what you have, God is well pleased. You give willingly, not forcefully, not pleasing somebody. God has already seen what you want to give. So give willingly, and God will bless. These people were doing very well. Doing offerings willingly. They were doing all sacrifice and everything willingly. And they thought they are doing great. But God was not pleased. How do you know? You go to Haggai. And read in Haggai. In Haggai, he says, you are building your houses and you got everything. And you are not building my house. And somebody says, God doesn't live in the hand-built temple. But he said, I inspired the heathen to build the temple. Because heathen people building their temples and worshiping heathen God, I want to prove it to that man that our God lives amidst of his people. And he wants to bless us. And you can be a blessing to others. Okay, let's go back to the Ezra chapter 3. Verse 6.
From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid.
They got everything going, and they are happy that what they're doing, but the word of God says the foundation of the temple was not yet laid. How many months? How many months passed? You will be learning later on. Almost 20 for more years, they did not build the temple. They were so happy and doing it. Let's read the verse 7.
They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia.
See, thank God that man did not change his mind. He told him to buy all of these things. And so much time left, and they are just building the altar. But finally they decided, let's build the temple now. Because, why? Because Haggai and Zechariah told these people, convinced those people to build the temple. But Ezra doesn't say this in this chapter, but because of Haggai, and because of Zechariah, and because of Zerubbabel, they decided to build the temple. Verse 8.
Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward, to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren the Levites.
Now here we see two groups of people. Zerubbabel, he stood there and he said, well, I'm going to tell all my sons and all my brethren, young men, all these young people who has a strength to lift up the wood or lift up the stone, they need young people. Other day when I was cutting the grass and I was tired and weary and fainted, and then my young grandson comes and says, Granddad, I'm going to cut the grass. I'm going to do it for you. And somebody says, oh, but you have to pay what you're paying other people. He said, no, I'm not doing for the pay. I want to help my granddad. The point I'm making, these young people, they were not looking for money. Zerubbabel is the governor. He said, all my brethren and all their children, young people, maybe 20 years old or so, come together and we are going to lay the foundation. And then the Levites and the priests and all kinds of priests gathered together. And they said, let's our brother and our children will do it together. Do you know there are almost 12 tribes? Out of 12 tribes, only two people are doing. Zerubbabel is tribe of Judah. These Levites and priests, they are tribe of Levites. Only Judah and Levites are doing the work, and all other people didn't mention here, they might be doing it, but these two people show encouragement. I want to do it something for the Lord. I see in our church, without telling, some people comes and start vacuuming. Some person comes and start cooking. Some person comes and start wiping the table or putting the table. Nobody's telling them. And the young people looking at them and walk away. What the word of God is saying, if you are sold out to God, you do what you want to do. Set an example. Do the things for the glory of God. It doesn't say when you're old, you retire. There is no retirement in the word of God. There are Christian people when they are 65 and they are working for some church, they said, oh no, you know what? We are old now, we want to be retired. I tell you, there is no retirement in the work of God. You see some of the people, senators, they get so old, they can hardly stand, but they are doing it. They're doing it for what? They're doing it for money. We have to set an example. Here these people, only two tribes, setting an example and doing the things, building the temple, and God was pleased. Okay, go ahead. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10.
And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they sent the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel.
Now here is saying, when they start building the temple, they got singers, magicians, the Levites, and some kind of singers. They say, hey, sing, so the people can have energy to build the temple. I don't know here you do, but in our country, when the harvest time, somebody does the music and some dancing around, and those people with that music start pulling the things with their hand, and they don't get tired. So when you have music going, you do more. Gives you inspiration to do some more for the Lord. And so these people start a music, start singing and praising and glorifying God. Now, this is very good, but sometimes people take the advantage of singing and music, and they bring the singing and music and dance in the church. They say, oh, look, see, these people were doing it. Levites were singing, and David was dancing, the Midian was dancing. So let's bring the dance in the church where they were doing. The temple was not even built. They were doing outside. David was dancing. He was not dancing in the temple. He was dancing on the street. Where the Miriam was dancing, she was dancing on the seashore. You go to seashore and dance around and let the people come and hear. Don't come to the pulpit and start showing your ballet dancing and showing your panties. Don't do that. You say dignified. Sit in the church, listen to the word of God. glorify God. You want to sing and praise God and jump around on your seat? That's fine. Don't come to the pulpit to dance. Some people say, oh, dancing is a ministry. Dancing is not a ministry. It's distraction. Some people say, oh, we have young people we're doing. What are you doing? I'm doing daredevil things in our church. And we all, devil name come, don't do it. Other day we were going and we saw devil's delicious food or something. And I said, even though they give me free or pay me to go there, I would not go because they are using the devil's name. And then I said, let me look a little bit down. And I saw a little bit down, the building is for sale. And who is selling? The real estate man was a killer or something, Kyler. I said, see, the devil's work didn't work, and now they are going out of business. The point I'm making, don't make a devil's cookie. Don't make a devil's cake. Don't do all the devil's thing, even though it looks good. You don't need the devil's promotion. Don't tell people to jump and bungee jump. Let's do it in the name of Jesus. Let's do the skating in the name of Jesus. Let's do the motorcycle in the name of Jesus. It's not God's thing. Use your energy to preach the gospel. Use the energy to do something building the church. Not dancing around. It's not God's will. And when you start doing that, God is not going to be pleased. But if you really, as I said, singing and music to encourage other people, that is good. So these people were singing music and helping other people. And they said, what song they were doing? Read the verse 11.
And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid.
Now, sing the song which people can understand. Sing the song that can be edify the church, edify somebody. We are going to sing the songs what David sang. And they choose the song, Psalm 136. They have 26 verses. And what they were doing? They will sing the song. They were reading the psalm and other people saying, his mercy endureth forever. Why they choose the right song? That they thought that God is so gracious, so merciful, and he has called us from the slavery and we are here. So we want to thank God and say, his mercy endureth forever. And they start singing their song and praising and glorifying God. Let's read the verse 12.
But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy.
Now here we see two kinds of people. The old people, when they saw the foundation, they remember the Solomon's temple. And they're so grateful, oh Lord, finally, we are building this temple. And they start crying. There are two kinds of people. Some people, when they get the $1 million lottery, they start crying, oh! And some people jump for joy. Some people cry, some people laugh. So the old people, they will start crying, and they were not crying like, They were crying loud. They didn't care who is watching. They were crying so loud with the tears and loud voice, and they were crying from their heart. They're thinking, thank you, Lord, for building this temple again. And they were glorifying God. And the young people, they might be jumping for joy, and they were shouting so loud. Nobody stopped them. You remember when Jesus Christ was coming and everybody said, Hosanna, Hosanna. The Sadducees and Pharisees came and they said, hey, Jesus, tell these people to stop. What Jesus said, if I stop them, the stone will cry out. Thank God there were no Pharisee here to telling them to stop what you're doing. So they were doing from their heart, praising God, glorifying God, shouting and thanking God what God has done. And the word of God says, some of them were doing for joy. They were so happy. And verse 13, see the noise, where the noise went. They did not use the loudspeaker. They did not use the big band. They were just doing from their heart. See what happened.
So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off.
The noise was heard far off. The people might be thinking, what happened? The same thing happened in the day of Pentecost. Let's read the Acts chapter 2 and start reading from verses 4 to 8.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
See, noise abroad. The same way these people were crying, the noise went afar off. But these people are praising God and shouting and rejoicing that they got the Holy Spirit, are speaking in tongues. And so the noise went far off. Time of Zerubbabel, they were building the temple. The time of their Pentecost, God was building the church. This was the time the Holy Spirit came, that same day what church was built. And so these people were happy and joyful and praising God and speaking in tongues, and the noise went far off. And the people said, what is this? And they came. And then when they came, these people were speaking in tongues, but those people heard them speaking in their own language. Now some people will come and say, oh, Pastor Peter, you don't have to speak in tongues, because when you speak in tongues, nobody knows. But these people spoke in tongues and other people understood. Let me tell you, when you're speaking in tongues, and other person sitting in there, and if that person is not a Christian, if that person is listening, he will listen in his own language, what you're speaking. Other day, one man was preaching. And one Jewish businessman was sitting in the... He was very rich. He had a business and television and radio station and things like that. And he was sitting in the... And this pastor was preaching in English. And this person started listening in Jewish. And so he said to one of his friends, is that man knows Jewish language? Could you go and ask him? He said, you go and ask. So after the preaching, the man comes and said, do you know Jewish? He said, no, I don't know a word. And he said, but you were preaching in Jewish. He said, no, I was preaching in English. But he heard in a Jewish language. What? Because in between, he was speaking in tongue. So in between speaking in tongue, that sounded to the other guy a Jewish word. And that man gave up his job and everything. Today he is a minister. And I heard this story many times, and I got my own experience. So God gives you understanding. These people were speaking in tongue, and other people start listening in their own language. The point I'm making, the time of Zerubbabel, they were building the temple. People were joyfully shouting and crying. The voice went far off. The same way that God is building the church in the day of Pentecost. People were shouting and praising God and glorifying God. And the noise went all abroad, and people came and they listened to the word of God in their own languages. You don't have to worry. Some people said, I don't know this language and I want to go to that country. I want to learn the language thoroughly and I'll go to that country. It will be too late. Why I'm saying this? If God has called you, then you ask the grace of God, he will give it to you. He wants language, you'll get the language. You want talent, he will give the talent. Do it by faith. These people started a good work, but did not do the right job. Haggai comes and encouraged these people. Then they start building the temple. When they start building the temple, they had a joy. They never dance around when they build the altar. But when they laid the foundation of the building, that's the time they start crying. That's the time they start rejoicing. So what I'm trying to say, whatever God told you, do that first. First they should have built the temple and then start worship service. But somebody said, oh, worship service take, we should not take the worship time out. Let's start worshiping first and then build the temple. Do the things what God told you to do. God says, go and build the temple, and they are building the altar. Do the things what God wants us to do. We are not here to please people. We are here to please God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We want to focus on Jesus Christ. Your word says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We don't look left or we don't look right. We don't want to please people, we want to please God. Give us grace to do the right thing. You are coming very soon. We have to build the church. We have to build the people. There are people dying without God and without Christ. And there are some people putting it off. I don't want to get saved, I'm too young. But the time is running. There is no guarantee how long you are going to live. Lord Jesus, give us grace to repent. Say, oh Lord Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life. I want to dedicate my life to you. I'm not going to wait one more second. And you can come anytime and I'll be left behind. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. Touch me, Lord, and heal me. And use me for the glory of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you did this prayer from your heart, you are a born-again child of God. Please be seated.